grace by definition.
Back in
Mark chapter 7.
And grace has no boundaries. The grace of God. Let's look at the scripture. Jesus got up and went away from there to the region of Tyre. And when he had entered a house, he wanted no one to know of it, yet he could not escape notice. But after hearing of him, a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit, immediately came and fell at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of the Syrophoenician race, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he was saying to her, "Let the children be satisfied first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs under the table feed on the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "Because of this answer, go. The demon has gone out of your daughter." And going back to her home, she found the child lying on a bed, the demon having left. Jesus was on the move. Jesus got up and went away from there to the region of Tyre. Jesus was always on the move. His disciples kind of would have liked to have him settled down. Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration said, "Let us build three altars or three tents for you, Elijah, and Moses, and let's set up shop on the top of the mountain." Early on in the book of Mark, Jesus went off by himself while it was still early to pray in chapter 1, verse 35. His disciples found him there and said, "The people are looking for you." Everyone's looking for Jesus said, "I have to go." Because that was his ministry. His ministry was going, always on the move. He took on flesh and dwelt among us. He wanted to be with the people. And so as much as he could, he moved around to be with as many people as he could. Of course, these days he's not limited, is he? He can be here, he can be in Taiwan, he can be in Europe, he can be in Africa, he can be everywhere at all times. That's his nature as God. When he was here, he had flesh like you and me. And the crowds were looking for him. Tyre was outside the borders of Israel, northeast of Israel, on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. And remember from sermons before that Jesus had been trying to get away with his disciples, and wherever he went, the crowds followed him. And perhaps he thought, well, maybe if we go outside of Israel, we'll have a little peace and quiet. So he tried Tyre. It says he entered a house. Make your home Jesus' home. I had a book for quite a while called Make Your Home a Lighthouse for Jesus. He wasn't always in the wilderness. Sometimes Jesus was in the wilderness, but he was in Peter's home in Capernaum. He spent a lot of time with Mary and Martha and Lazarus in Bethany. He spent the Last Supper at John Mark's mother's house. Now he entered another house. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." It's part of his grace, part of his kindness, that he would invite us into his house. "Why don't you come home with me?" he said to the disciples in John chapter 1. And they went to be and to stay with Jesus. He invites us in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me." He wants to come into our homes, to make himself at home in our homes. Just imagine that. You invite people into your home, and then because he or she is there, other people want to come, almost busting down the doors to get in. Desperate people. People didn't mind the crowds, the homes that he went into. They didn't mind the interruptions. In fact, that one interruption where they took the roof off. You know, just imagine being in that house that day. A little bit of plaster starts falling down. I don't know how they removed the roof, but it must have been interesting to lower a cripple into the midst of the crowd that had gathered that day. Has your house become Jesus' house? Has he made his home in your house? Is he welcome there? Is Jesus using your house as a lighthouse to reach the people who you know? Jesus was not an undercover Messiah, and we should not be undercover Christians. It says in verse 24, "And when he had entered a house, he wanted no one to know of it. Yet he could not escape notice." You see, when Jesus comes into the house, it makes a difference. When Jesus is in your house changes, and it becomes a lighthouse for him. He attracts people. We love that idea as a people, don't we? Look at the news of Meghan. I think her last name was Markle. Now she's married to Prince Harry. And every day I go to my news feed on my iPad and I see something about, you know, Meghan's doing this, Meghan's doing that. We love that story. We love the stories of the prince who disguises himself so he can walk anonymously among his people. Jasmine, of course, everybody knows who Jasmine is from Aladdin. prisoner of the castle, she takes on a disguise and goes out and meets Aladdin. And it's a wonderful story. We like that. But Jesus, when he goes out, he can't remain anonymous. He's healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out demons. And desperate people are always coming to him inside of Israel and now outside of Israel, because grace has no borders. The grace of God has no borders. Holy gossip. Wow. Spread the word. Verse 25. But after hearing of him, as Christians, that's who we should be gossiping about. Gossiping about Jesus. Have you heard what he did? You know, I've had a prayer request recently. I told Michael about it, so if he happens to listen to this, he won't mind it. But Michael and Megan both wanted to move out to California. And so the different prayer meetings, whether it's prayer meeting on Wednesday night or prayer meeting at the pastor's meetings, I've said, pray that Michael and Megan will not move. And so everybody gives those, you know, little sanctified prayers. Lord, we pray that you would give him wisdom. No, I don't want that prayer. But no, don't move. Well, he's decided to stay, and Megan's decided to stay till August, so keep praying. God answers prayer, doesn't he? Be bold in your prayers. If you want healing, ask for healing. God might say no, but he might say yes. But isn't it interesting that when Jesus spoke to that one man, he said, "Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed?" And we might think, well, sure he does. I mean, he's crippled, isn't he? Sure she does. She's sick, isn't she? Do you really want? But after hearing of him, the gossip had spread. And this woman's Syrophoenician woman, I think that's where Jezebel was from too, that area of Tyre and Sidon, that evil woman in the Old Testament. But here, this woman is seeking the right solution. It says in verse 25, a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately came and fell at his feet. She knew where to come with her prayer, with her request. This was something that she couldn't handle. This is something that totally disrupted her life. But she knew who to come to. She came to Jesus. Is there somebody in your life who needs the Lord? Someone who needs the Savior. Someone who needs the touch of the healer. Someone who can actually cast out demons. This woman came to the right place. She came to the right person. But uh-oh, we have a problem. Verse 26. Now the woman was a Gentile of the Syrophoenician race. And she kept asking him to cast out the demon, to cast the demon out of her daughter. Kept asking. Prayer needs perseverance, doesn't it? Have you been praying for someone for a long time? Don't stop. Keep praying. There's any number of examples of prayers that were answered after the person who was praying died. And I think personally, when we get to be with the Lord, we're not going to forget about those prayer requests that we know about here. In fact, I've been known to go to the bed of someone who is dying and say, when you get to heaven, would you please ask the Lord for this? I hope they have. But here is a woman who's not of Israel. The promises were not given to people from the Syrophoenician race. They were given to Israel. When Jesus sent the disciples out, he sent them out to Israel only. The table of the Lord. You're not invited to the table. Jesus, and he was saying to her, let the children be satisfied first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Do you get that? It's a little subtle. She fell at his feet, and then in verse 26, and she kept asking him. She kept asking him. And he was saying to her, Like this is a continuing thing that she's saying, can you heal? Can you cast out this demon? Can you cast out this spirit? And he keeps saying to her, let the children be satisfied first. Let the children be satisfied first, for it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Now, we have a hard time with that because we spoil our dogs, don't we? You know, oh, are you cold? We'll give you a little blanket, you know, wrap you up. Getting a little cold outside, right? I was out for a couple of days with Mike and Megan for Mike's birthday. And we took the dogs to a doggy park. And there was one dog that had a coat on. It was kind of cute, and in a way it was kind of pathetic. But it had a lot of fur too. But the people in the Bible didn't care as much as we do for their dogs. They were kind of mangy, and they were scavengers, and they weren't spoiled like our dogs. They probably didn't even have vets. But she said, never give up, keep asking. But she answered and said to Jesus, yes, Lord, but even the dogs under the table feed on the children's crumbs. And this word that was used here was the little puppies. Aren't they so cute when they're puppies? She could not call him father. She couldn't claim the privilege of being a child. But she could call him master because he was her God. And masters feed their dogs, at least the crumbs. The woman, being a Gentile, had no covenant right to come to Jesus and call him Son of David. But she could call him Lord and have her prayer answered. Jesus wasn't rude to her. He was testing her to strengthen the faith she had. And the faith of these people from outside of Israel was greater than the faith of the people who were from Israel. Remember the centurion who Jesus praised for his faith. And here's another one. The king's table is full. But Jesus isn't the average king. When he gives, no matter how many people there are, there's always more. The bread just kept coming and the fish. The oil filled all the vessels of the young widow of the Old Testament prophet. There was so much more than enough at Christ's table that the crumbs can certainly feed all the dogs who come. One crumb of power of grace from the table shall cast the devil out of my daughter, one commentator said. Another said, great faith is faith that takes God at his word and will not let go until God meets the need. Great faith can lay hold of even the slightest encouragement and turn it into a fulfilled promise. Lord, increase our faith. And then we see faith's reward. In verses 29 and 30, Jesus said to her, because of this answer, go. The demon has gone out of your daughter. And going back to her home, she found the child laying on the bed, the demon having left. And the one reason that I really like the New American Standard Version is that when it translates having with that term, having left, it's a past event with a present result. The demon was gone, and he was going to stay gone. Gone for good. Her prayer was answered. So grace has no boundaries. It's not limited. And all those who come to the table of the Lord find that grace. And we come to his table this morning, having been recipients of the grace of salvation. Having come, we still come. having feasted at his table, we still come to his table. One time as Gentiles seeking crumbs, but now invited as his child to come to his table. We come.
Oh, Father, we thank you for that sacrifice that you made in sending your Son to take our sin. We thank you, Lord, for the invitation that you've given to us. We who were beyond the borders of grace are now embraced by the Savior. We pray, Lord, that we, like this little girl, might show the results of salvation every day of our lives. We pray this in your precious name.